Exodus chapter 12, please. Exodus chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, in the bulletin there are the verses we'll be covering, which is pretty much a whole chapter of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, please. All right, let's stand, please. If you have difficulty standing for the whole time, you may remain seated if you would like, because it's a lot of verses. So Exodus chapter 12, verse 1. I've been preaching, and most of you know, on different images of salvation, starting with justification for 6 weeks and dealing with different aspects. I have maybe three more I want to do today. I'm going to do the Passover. Anybody know why I want to do Passover today? This is Passover week, precisely. So this is the beginning of Passover week. It's the days before the week before, or the days of unleavened bread, and then Passover will be this coming Friday. So Passover is an important thing. And by the way, Jesus was crucified on Passover. Exactly. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, it's in the bulletin in the notes. Purge out therefore the old leaven or old yeast, that you may be a new lump. And as you are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. So it's not an accident that Jesus was crucified on the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, please, in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, if you get confused reading the Bible, welcome to the club. Jewish calendar has two new years. Has the religious new year, which is in April, more or less in April, could be a little bit of March, a little bit of May. That's this, the Passover, generally called the religious new year. It also has a New Year's celebration in October-ish called Rosh Hashanah, which means the head of the new year, the new year. So you have two new years. So, but this is the first of the feast. So he says in verse 3, speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for every house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next unto him, his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make you your count for the lamb. So if you don't have a small house, two people, you could join another house or two, and you would join in with the house and have just the one lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, you shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. You could have a goat too, but it seems like lambs was the normal. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two sides of the post and on the upper doorpost of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden, meaning not boiled. They want it roasted, as at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the, this is a word we know, and it just means the inner parts, the pertinence thereof, the inner parts of the animal. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded. And you say, what's this about? Remember, there's two things going on here, friend, two issues. Number one, there is the actual Passover night. That's what I want to talk about tonight. It was the night that God passed through the land of Egypt and was going to kill the firstborn. But if you had applied the blood, the Lord, i.e., passed over your house, and you were delivered. It's also the night of deliverance from Egypt. Now, there's also the Passover celebration, which is what the Jewish people will be doing this week, which is very legitimate. It's the memorial that God establishes in the text. So in verse 11, it says, "And you shall eat it with your loins girded." It meant this, folks, you're in a hurry. You need to get out of Egypt. So I want you to be dressed and ready to go. No unleavened bread. We'll learn this later, but the unleavened bread, symbol of sin, but also they didn't have time for the bread to rise. So just cook the bread without, rising and all the yeast, what yeast does, and just do it quickly. "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token or a sign upon the houses wherein you are, where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." So, friend, it's very simple. The animal had to be killed and the blood applied, and if the Lord saw the blood, he passed over that home. Verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." This is now what was to be perpetuated throughout history to remember. And of course, even today, when we remember Easter, in one sense, we're remembering the ultimate Passover, where the Lord Jesus became the Lamb of God for us. "This day shall be for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever," meaning something I have ordained. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Remember, leaven here has two purposes. Number one, the hurry part, and secondly, the sin part. When leaven or yeast, if you don't know the term leaven, yeast, when yeast is used in the Bible as a metaphor or a picture, it's always a picture of evil or sin. So it's get rid of the leaven out of your house. Don't be eating things with leaven, meaning the sin. So clear out your house. Okay, verse 16. "And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For in the selfsame day have I brought you armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 20th day of the month at even. And 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened, at least during that period of time, and all your habitation shall be, you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, which is a kind of a plant, and dip it in the blood of the lamb that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of that house, out at the door of that house until the morning. Otherwise, the Lord is coming. He's going to pass through Egypt. He's going to judge anybody that's not covered by the blood, is the idea. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. When he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your house to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to you thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you have become to the land which the Lord will give you, according to he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto thee, what mean you by this service? Which is the obvious point of a memorial, is what are you doing this for? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. That's as far as we need to read the introduction. Let's pray together, please. Father, help me this morning as I share simple ideas about something central to Christianity, Christ being our Passover and the Passover feast. And obviously throughout the entire Old Testament, the great example of your deliverance from Egypt, your deliverance from death, and your deliverance from slavery to sin and the Egyptian gods and the Egyptian religion, delivering your people from Egypt into the Promised Land. And of course, for a believer, Christ is the ultimate Passover lamb, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Help me today, Father, and bless our time now in Jesus' name. Amen. In my Bible class this week, I asked the kids a question. I hate to ask these questions. What year were you born? The oldest one in the class, I think, is Daniel Jacobs. He said he's 19 years old. Wow. You know what that means, friends? When I thought about the Passover this morning, I think two things come to my mind. First of all, time passes, and when times pass, memories fade. We forget. Is that correct?
Yes.
We forget many things. 9/11 was 23 years ago. Kids graduating from high school this year were somewhere between 4 and 6 years old. They were born 4 to 6 years after 9/11. So they have no memories of it at all. They don't only have the memories, by the way, that you have shared with them of 9/11, when about 3,000 American citizens were killed in a terrorist attack. 1975, the Vietnam War was officially over. That's 49 years ago, Mike Rock. That's when it was officially over. It was actually over in 73, and that was 51 years ago. That's inconceivable. 1945, World War II was over. That's 79 years ago. Do you realize, folks, do you realize the kids in my Bible class, not the kids in kindergarten, the kids in 11th and 12th grade, are about 5 to 6 years removed after they were born after 9/11. I was only born 12 years after World War II. It won't be long that there'll be no memories. Memory is a fading thing. It's something that flees. Time passes, memories fade. To even think of the Civil War, where 600,000 Americans died over the issue of slavery. That's 159 years ago. Or the Revolutionary War, beginning with July 4th, 1776, is 248 years ago since the Declaration was signed. Well, the Passover was started in 1446 BC. That means 3,470 years ago, God delivered the Jewish people from Egypt. Any of you alive? Even Frenchie's not that old. He's old enough to remember John Paul Jones, but not old enough to go back 3,470 years. The Passover started. It is some debate about when it starts, but it kind of started last Friday, even though that was a typical Shabbat or Sabbath day for Jewish people. And it will officially start tomorrow, and then it goes through the week. And on Friday will be the actual Passover to memorialize and remember God's deliverance of the Jewish people from slavery and bondage in the country of Egypt. 1446 BC or thereabouts. That's a long time ago. And by the way, the whole point of this, if you look back at verse 27 or 26, it says, "And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service?" What's the point of this? That they would be able to say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshiped. Of course, by the way, the memorial was for a purpose of remembering what God had done. In chapter 13, verse 14, it again, because remember, there are two things going on. You have both the actual Passover when God is passing through Egypt And then you have God establishing the memorial right at the beginning. Chapter 13, verse 14 says this, "And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this that thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of bondage." A little bit later in verse 16 it says, "For by the strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt." So this whole concept of being a slave, not just a physical slave, but a slave to the whole system of Egypt, the false gods and all of that, God delivered his people. So what is Passover? What I want to do is just try to answer that question very simply. Number one, Passover is about a great deliverance. In the whole Old Testament, friends, everything is about God, what God did to bring a small group of people out of Egypt that were enslaved there, God bringing them out with a great deliverance. So when we think of Passover, yes, Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice for us. Passover has always been about a great deliverance, God bringing us out, God bringing the Jewish people out of Egypt, delivering them from bondage, slavery, and all that that implies. Egypt was a place of slavery for the Jewish people for about 400 years. They were there a little bit longer than 400 years, but some of the early part was good under Joseph. But then it turned to slavery. And of course, the Passover is about deliverance. Secondly, the Passover is about deliverance from death and slavery, but specifically not just slavery as a slave, but slavery to sin and your own habits and the fact that you cannot break out of your own habits. God is delivering the Jewish people from that bondage, all of that bondage, like he delivers us from our bondage. Last week I had a conversation with someone. It was a weird conversation. We were out at a restaurant. You've been to a restaurant in Waukegan, Zion, North Chicago recently? Almost every restaurant has something in the restaurant. Gaming, right? Which is another word for, can I say this? Another word for slavery for people. They're enslaved to their addictions. Now, this was an unsaved person that was talking to me, a friend of mine, but an unsaved man. We were just talking in general, talking about things, and some people walked in and didn't even stop at the restaurant part. They went straight back to the gaming. And he said to me, and it was just interesting, an unsaved guy saying this to me, he said something to this effect. He said, Ralph, have you ever followed up on people that win the lottery, how badly they do? Otherwise, you know, your dream is to win some money. I'm going to win money in the lottery, and then I'm going to be, by the way, what's the language? I'm finally going to be happy. But the problem is, if God simply brought the Jewish people out of Egypt and left them like they were, they weren't just enslaved to Egyptians in the sense of economic slavery. The whole religious system and all of the garbage of Egypt, God was bringing his people out of that to deliver them to live a different kind of life where they could follow the Lord and be free in the Lord and love him and serve him and not just be enslaved. So the Passover was, yes, a great deliverance, but a great deliverance from slavery and death, because death comes to us all. And in those days, it came more than just that. I asked my friend, I said, have you ever gambled? This is an interesting question. Have you ever gambled? And he said, no. He's an unsaved guy. My father was an unsaved guy, would never gamble because he was afraid of the addiction. When I pastored in St. Louis, gambling started right where I'm from. Alton, Illinois is a depressed town. Used to be a steel town, used to be a river town, and because the steel mills are gone, the river town is depressed, so they decided to put, you realize the first gambling establishment in the state of Illinois was put in Alton, Illinois, where my father lived. Right on, and by the way, in those days, do you remember the lies? It had to be on water. Had to be a river boat. You actually had to you would get on the boat and the boat would go down the river very slowly and then come back because you had, in those days they were trying to play games and thread needles where somehow you could allow this, but Jenny will remember this well. A woman from St. Louis area went over to Alton, which isn't far. You just cross the Missouri River, then you cross the Mississippi into Alton. She went over to Alton and started gambling. She gambled all of her money. Then she dipped into her savings. It wasn't her savings, it was her and her husband's savings. She gambled away all of her family's savings. Then she gambled away the house until she finally gambled everything away, and then she, well, you probably know what she did. She committed suicide. She had gambled every single thing she had. Can I say something to you, friend? When we talk about Christ, our Passover, being sacrificed for us, Christ came to deliver us. He came to deliver us from two issues. Number one, death, yes. We want you to know Christ so that way one day when you do die, you go meet the Lord in the air. Yes, that's true. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But the Lord didn't deliver us to leave us in slavery and bondage. So let me say this, friend. When I see people that are enslaved to things, they're enslaved to drinking, obviously, gambling, obviously, drugs, obviously. I know people that can't get throughout their entire day. Look, when they wake up in the morning and they have to go to work because you got to pay the bills, all day long they're thinking of coming home so they can vape marijuana. The only thought is getting home to vape drugs. You say, is that freedom? Well, you're free to be stupid, but you're not free to do anything good. You're a slave to your addictions. I remember a guy that used to sit in this room, and I'll just say this. I hope I offend somebody. He used to sit in this room. His entire life was pornography. When he would come to church late, his wife could never figure out why he didn't want to come with her. And church starts at 11, he'd get here at 11:17 because she would go home and look at the computer, and he'd been into porn the entire time until the moment he walked out. His entire life was getting back to his pornography. Can I say this, friend? That's slavery. Passover is about a great deliverance. God delivering us from death and slavery. God doesn't want you enslaved to any kind of addictions that control your life. You say, well, that's funny, Pastor Warren. You're kind of a silly old guy. You're kind of weird. I mean, what's wrong with a little gaming? Honestly, what's wrong with a little gaming is when you can't stop the gaming and you're willing to spend your entire life savings and your family's savings and gamble away your home just to whatever. You're addicted. You're enslaved to it. Well, number three. We go back to Exodus 12. Would you look there with me, please? Exodus 12 and verse 3. This is where how we're delivered. So the Passover has always been about a great deliverance. Let me say this. Some Jewish people today basically say this is our first opportunity to be a country. That is true. But their deliverance was greater than just getting them out of Egypt. God could have kept them in Egypt, by the way, and given them freedom in the sense of political freedom, but he wanted them to be a different kind of people, a people freed from all of the slavery to sin and from the fear of death. So how did he deliver them? Well, he delivered them, and that's where we have to come to. It's Passover is about a deliverance, a great deliverance, a deliverance from sin and death, slavery and death, but thirdly, it's a deliverance by the blood of a lamb. It's very important that we recognize it was always a lamb that was sacrificed for us. Chapter 12 and verse 3. Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month, they shall take them to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. So, you know, you have a bunch of lambs, choose out a lamb. Verse 4. And if the household be too little for the lamb, you've chosen the lamb, but you realize there's going to be too much to eat. We don't need that much. Then you could join with another house or two. It goes on to say, let him and his neighbor next in his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall you make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two, in the two side posts and on the upper post, doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat. So you have very clearly in this beautiful passage an image that this is a great deliverance from death and sin and slavery, but it was done by the blood of a lamb. Exodus chapter 12, verse 11. It says, "And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on." Remember, there's two things going on. God is establishing a memorial service that's going to continue, but there's actually that night itself. I want to focus on that night itself. They were to be ready to get out of Egypt. When God delivered them, they needed to be ready. So have your clothes on, so to speak. You know, can you imagine getting awakened in the middle of the night and you're not ready? He says, "Have your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment, for I am the Lord." Verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon, or a sign upon the houses where you are, and where I shall, when I shall see the blood," I love this, "I will pass over you." Passover, literally, Pesach, just means exactly what it sounds like, to pass over. God's going to pass through the land. He's going to look at every home. He's going to look for blood. If there's blood there, then God will pass over that house, no judgment. They will be delivered from death and also freed to leave the slavery of Egypt. So the lamb was chosen. The lamb had to be tested. Why did they keep it? Because the lamb had to be without spot and blemish. 2 Corinthians 5:21 talks about Jesus, that he knew no sin. 1 Peter 2:22 said Jesus did no sin. 1 John 3:5 says in him was no sin. So Jesus was the spotless Lamb of God that died for us, obviously. So the lamb was chosen. Then the lamb had to be proved. You had to test the lamb, make sure it was the proper lamb. And then the lamb was killed. And then ultimately the blood had to be applied. Blood applied. We used to sing a song in the church I grew up in. Tim, I don't think it's in our hymn book. I will pass over thee when I see the blood. Is that song in our hymn book? It is in there, or you're not sure, Pastor Kowak? Some of you say it is. Some of you say, I have no idea. Maybe we should sing it today. Look, if you would, to chapter 12, verse 7, please. 12, verse 7. So the lamb had to be chosen, had to be tested for a few amount of days to make sure the lamb was without blemish. But Jesus is the ultimate lamb. 1 John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He was without sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin, and in him was no sin. So he was ultimately tested and ready, but the lamb then had to be killed, and then the blood had to be applied. So in verse 7 it says, "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it." Now friends, I'm not going to do any blood. Jamie Lowry's not here. He's downstairs. His niece was in my Bible class. Do you know there's people that blood? I was talking about blood, drawing blood on a patient, and his niece was in my Bible class, and she put her head on the wall, concrete wall, and the next thing I know, she was totally passed out just by mentioning blood. So I'm going to be very careful. No blood this morning. I thought about maybe, you know, drawing some blood on somebody. It would be like this, friend, if this was the door to the house. The blood, by the way, it didn't do any good to kill the animal. A killed animal doesn't help you. You had to literally apply the blood to your house, so to speak. And they were to take a certain kind of branches, like a bush, dip it in the blood, and you put blood up here, and then you would put blood on both sides. So that night when the angel came through, or God, whoever it was, the death angel came through, passed through the land, the Lord could see the blood that was applied to your house. And when he saw the blood, guess what he did? He what? He passed over. That's the point of Passover. He passed over and didn't kill any of the firstborn. That is the beauty. And I saw this done by Gary Zimmerman years ago. He says, if you think about it, and you put blood here and the blood drips, and you have it to two sides, you have a perfect cross because you have the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world for your sins. So let me say this, friend. The Lamb had to be chosen. The Lamb had to be spotless. Yes? There's only one spotless person that's ever lived. One person who knew no sin, who did no sin, who had no sin in him. He was the one that was tested. He had to die for your sins, but we're still not there. Just because Jesus died 2,000 years ago, Christ our Passover is sacrificed for you, doesn't mean you're saved. The blood has to be applied. God passes over when he sees the blood. He has to see, and you say, that's bloody. Well, Christ did die on the cross for our sins, friend. That's a bloody mess. He gave his life. Exodus 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a sign or a token upon the houses where you are. And I love this. And when I see the what? I will pass over you. So friends, you could have been a Jewish person. You could have been in the land of Egypt. You could have killed the animal. But if you didn't apply the blood to the door, that's a personal thing. The blood must be applied to you. You yourself must trust the Christ who died for you, his shed blood. You say, what is my hope? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's not physical blood. We're not talking about I need to get a unit of blood to carry with me. But the fact that Jesus' blood was spilt for us, shed for us, and dying in our place, the blood must be applied to you. John chapter 1, verse 29. Then the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 35, again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. My friend, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. The blood must be applied. 1 Peter 1, verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed, and this is ironic, you weren't purchased with corruptible things such as silver and gold, which is odd because the reason silver and gold is precious is because it doesn't rust. But according to the Bible, in this setting, it's like it just disappears. He goes on in verse 19, but instead you were redeemed by what? By the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the Lord passed over the house only if he saw the blood applied. The blood had to be applied. So friend, please look at me. You're in a Baptist church. That won't help you one iota. Baptist church won't do anything for you. Getting wet won't help you. What helps you? When the Lord passes over, does he see the blood? Have you personally come to Christ and been saved? And has the blood been applied to your account? Christ's death, his blood shed for you, put on your account. Your sin put on his account. The Lamb has died, but the blood must be applied. Must be applied for you. Revelation chapter 5. Why don't we turn there together? Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6, please. Would you do that for me? The Passover is about a great deliverance, but a great deliverance from what? Slavery to sin and death. It's a great deliverance. How so? By the blood of a lamb, the Lamb of God shed for you. Revelation 5 and verse 6. Friends, this is one of those passages where John, the door is open and John gets to go in and gets to peek into what heaven looks like right now. In verse 6 it says this, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and that's kind of a strange statement, in the middle of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. Look what it says. Stood a lamb as if it had been slain. Friends, 10 million years from now, the Son of God will still appear to be the one like a lamb slain for our sins. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Verse 7. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors or aromas, which are the prayers of the saints. Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. How so? By thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made unto us, unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Friends, look at me. We're from all over the world in this room. But we're not here because we're from all over the world or we like each other's cultures. The only hope we have is in 10,000 years from now, if we worship the Lamb, it's because the Lamb of God was sacrificed for us. His shed blood was applied to our account. We're there and we're saying, worthy is the Lamb because thou hast, what? What does he say? You have died. You have been sacrificed. Thou hast was slain and hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. That's our hope. The blood must be applied. Revelation 13:8 talks about that horrible time in the tribulation. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, meaning the Antichrist, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Friends, every single person has to come to the time where the blood is applied, which is something you have to choose to do. Yes, the Holy Spirit opens our eyes, God draws us, but you, by God's grace, must choose by faith to say, I need only, my only hope is the blood of Christ. I'm giving up all the other hopes. By the way, you say, well, Pastor, I'm a good person. I'm going to put on my door, I'm a good person. That won't work. When God passes through the land, he's going to look for blood applied. He's not looking for, I'm a good person. He's not looking for, I'm an educated person. He's not looking for, I'm a nice person. He's not looking for anything. Is the blood on the door? If the blood is on the door, God passes over you. And my friend, our only hope of deliverance is God sees the blood of Christ applied to us. My prayer for you this morning is that you come to Christ. The blood must be applied to you personally. God doesn't see blood, there's no hope. It's not because you're a nice person or a nicer person. And we have some very nice people in our church, but that is not our hope at all. I want us to look, if you would, down to verse 29 of chapter 12, please. I don't know if that's in, it's not in this, the notes. Sorry, I didn't go that far. Everybody find verse 29? Yes? All right, look at me, please. I want to say this quickly. Let's just drop all religion. Let's put yourself back 1446 BC. You're a Jewish person, and you have just learned that the God is going to pass through tonight, and he's going to kill the firstborn of every family, both humans and animals. Have you thought about this? How much confidence do you have? I remember the first time I had a cataract surgery, and the doctor said, well, we need to do cataract surgery. I don't know about you, but I don't like people around my eyes. Do you? I definitely don't like sharp things around my eyes. Do you? And I still remember the last thing I remember seeing, Ade, you said something funny to me about you were out. I liked what you said, because the last thing I remember was they numb me up and they come into me with a needle in my eye. You know, that is not a pleasant thought. So here's the night. God has said, I'm coming through the land. I'm going to pass through the land. And you say, well, my family were believers, so we killed the lamb, we ate the lamb, we're ready to leave. We put it on the door. But I want you to read this verse, these two verses or so with me, because it gets into the experience of the night. It came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle or animals. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a what? What do you think was going on, friend, when you find out you're losing your firstborn child? And you found out your animals are dying. And you're in your little house, and by the way, you're thinking, I know we did what God said, but is God going to pass over us? Or are we going to lose our firstborn child? And that affects every single home. It could affect more than one. It could be that the husband was firstborn. He would die. He had a firstborn son. The firstborn son would die. Then they had animals. I mean, it would affect every family. Can you imagine the crying and the weeping? 2003 or 4, I forget, I went to the Philippines for the first time. It was the strangest experience of my life. Pastor Nelson Flores, he was worse than Louis Heras. Is that possible? He was more of a practical joker than Louis Heras. He did more bad things to me in 2 weeks than I've had done to me in a lifetime. We were in a grocery store, and they were selling, and I cannot remember the name. It's some kind of sticky rice. Comes in a little circle. What is it? Babinka. There you go. But it's on a banana leaf. Pastor Nelson didn't tell me that you don't eat the banana leaf. So he said, you're going to love this thing. You're going to love this. And, you know, if you remember Pastor Nelson, he's with the Lord. He had a square smile about that big. And when he got that smile, I should have thought, things aren't good. Things aren't good. But he had that big smile, and he got me that babinka, and I bit into that. And by the way, until I started chewing the banana leaf, it was wonderful. It was some of the nicest. Then it's like, yuck. And what's he doing laughing his head off? I'm still bitter about that. Then he took me to another place. What was that thing he gave me that was? Camachile. Camachile. There you go. He said, this is really good too. He said, you're really going to like this. By the way, when a Filipino tells you that, especially if their name is Louis Heras, do not believe them. All I know is he handed this to me, but he didn't tell me that you don't chew the seeds. I'm chewing, I'm thinking, boy, this is nasty. And he's laughing his head off in the back of the car because he's fooled me again. Well, the worst fooling of all was one night we were up in the province where he lived. And I don't remember what province we were in because he lived in Pampanga, but it was very close to Bulacan. We were someplace. And his house was very small my first time there, so it wasn't room for a white guy to stay. Now, if it was a Filipino, there was room for 23 Filipinos, but no white guys. Meaning, you know, white people have to have their own bedroom, their own kitchenette, their own bathroom, you know, all that stuff. And anyhow, he says, I'm going to put you up in a hotel. Now, for all my Pinoy friends, it was not a hotel. It was actually, take a breath, it was actually a motel. Because there's a difference in the Philippines. I don't want to go there right now. But it was a nice place. He put me up, but he didn't tell me there was a typhoon coming. So that night, about 10 o'clock, all of a sudden, how do you know a typhoon's hitting? Well, the first thing that happens is, you know, I'm in a box. It's a concrete box. And all the electricity just immediately blinks off. And there's no air conditioning, and you're in this box, and it's hot, and then you hear the winds. And for whatever reason, when I read this text, I thought to myself, you're a believer, right? You've applied the blood, right? But how do you know God is going to see that maybe he goes to the wrong door? And I'm in this house, and my memories are this, pitch black, wind howling. And, of course, this was 2003 or 4. There were no cell phones. There was no calling anybody. I didn't have a car. I didn't know where he lived. I didn't know how to get in contact with him. And I'm thought, great, this place is going to get blown down. Here I am in the middle of a typhoon, and he's going to be laughing in his house. Friend, read that verse again, verse 29, would you? Came to pass at midnight. What happens at midnight? That's when it's pitch black. The Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne into the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle, meaning all the animals. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Can you imagine? Every household had, well, obviously everybody has at least one firstborn. Could be the husband and wife were both firstborn and a child. It could be three people. There was crying going on. So here you are in the Philippines, no contact, no way of contacting people. The lights go off, the AC, the aircon goes off. It's pitch black. You're hearing winds howl. And by the way, for Filipinos that like typhoons, God bless you. I love you. I don't really care for typhoons. I prefer to be here without the typhoons. It's not one of the things I think, what do you want to do? What's on your bucket list? Typhoon is not on my bucket list ever again. All I know is it's just circling. And I think back to the night, 1446 BC, and the family were godly people that believed what God said, and they applied the blood. But would God see it? Maybe he would judge their house anyhow. How would you know? And it's pitch black, and it's at nighttime, and then you start hearing people screaming because they have lost family members to death. And you can. And by the way, they probably weren't going, oh, we're having a bad day, my toes hurt. They were weeping and wailing because they had lost family members. And is God going to see the blood applied? And the answer is yes, God sees the blood. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. Well, there's one last thing I want to mention this morning. Exodus 13, please, verse 14. Would you look there with me? Exodus 13 and verse 14. Passover is a deliverance. It is a deliverance from death and slavery. It is deliverance by the blood of a lamb. And obviously the ultimate lamb is not a lamb that's killed every year, folks. Remember Hebrews says, if you have to kill a lamb every year, that just reminds you that that's not the lamb. The Lamb of God was sacrificed once and for all and forever. That is the Son of God. But Exodus 13, 14 adds one little nuance to this that I want you to get this morning. It says in verse 14, and it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this? Thou shalt say unto him, by the strength of the hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. So it's deliverance from death and slavery. It's deliverance by the blood of the Lamb. It's deliverance through God's mighty hand and arm, so to speak. God delivered his people. Friends, this morning when Linda over here, my favorite Linda, she's my absolute favorite. Everybody knows that, right, Linda? Maybe not. Only if she's around my enemy Nancy, then it gets bad. She said, we just came back from D.C., and then either you or your mother told me you were there for a funeral. Can I say this, friend? Everybody dies. The question is, does God pass over you and receive you unto himself? Here's the bottom line. God does so by means of the blood of the Lamb, the Son of God who died for me. Has the blood been applied to you? My prayer this morning is, friend, that you come to Christ and trust him and him alone, not anything else. It doesn't make any difference what else. You could have put up nice photos on the door. Listen, if I took you to where my mother lives today, you go to her assisted living. Jenny, do you have to know what the apartment number is? Judy, you've been there. You know what her apartment looks like, don't you? Because it's decorated every place. By the way, you could have my mother's decoration. The Lord wasn't looking for decoration. He's looking, is the blood been applied to the door? When I see the blood, I will pass over. But the Lord is also capable with his strong arm to deliver you from all of your sin and slavery and bondage to the things that you're enslaved to and set you free and give you a life worth living that will eventually be lived with him forever. It's by the strength of his hand. It also says that in verse 16, same chapter. And it shall be for a token or a sign upon thy hand and for frontlets between thy eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Strength of hand, doing what's necessary. God has the strength to deliver you. So tonight, the day, I just want to say this, friend. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Please look at me. Have you applied the blood? Has this become yours? Is this your salvation? Or is it just, that's nice, I go to Lake County, I like the people, I like the jokes, I like the friends, I like all the repartee, I like all of that too. But friend, we're a congregation that will one day not be here will be with the Lord, gathered around the throne, and the reason we'll be together is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, a Lamb as if it had been slain, the shed blood of Christ applied to our account. That is our hope. Father, thank you for this time this morning. Lord, I think there are people here this morning that are maybe have grown up in religious ways, and on the door they have, I'm a nice person, I'm a good guy, I'm a decent person, and I'm happy they're a decent person. But what you're looking for is the blood there, because when you see the blood, when you're passing through the land, you pass over, and no believer with the blood of Christ applied to their account will ever suffer eternal death. Yes, we physically will die unless you come and catch us away at the rapture. But Lord, we'll never suffer eternal consequences, because when I see the blood, I will pass over you. That is Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. Seal these truths to our hearts this morning in Christ's name.